Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Melinda, compulsive overeater, and really my heart is so full being here with all of you. I have to take it in that, at 5 a.m. there are 78 of you who are here with me, I'm sure every day. And that is I don't know, there's something so exciting and hopeful about that. There's so much going on in the world that I know nothing about. And that really leads to more opportunity. So my story, I have been in program for next month. March will be 11 years. I came in, as I always like to say, not on my knees, but flat on my face. I was in the middle of a very difficult divorce that I thought there would be no way that it would ever end. I was fighting for what I felt was a right custody agreement for my kids more than anything else, and I didn't know how that was going to ha ever happen, and I had fear beyond fear. What's interesting is the reason I had thought about divorce for a long time, probably most of my marriage, but I never knew when I would make that decision. Like, how would I know when to do it? And I didn't leave for a long time because I didn't want to not have my kids every day. Not for me, I'm sure in part, but also because I didn't want them to be alone with their dad. And I was, so there was a moment where I was reading a book and it said, you could stay, but there's a risk if you stay, you could get depression, addiction, or cancer from the stress. And I'm like, oh, damn, I gotta go because I'm staying because I don't want to not have my kids every day. But if I stay and I get sick, they won't have a mom. So I take the action, I'm in the middle of it. And then during my divorce, I've always struggled with my weight. My weight was going up and up and up and up. And I had this revelation that I left because I didn't want my kids to not have a mom. But if I stayed during it, but there was a possibility that if my weight kept going up as it was, I could get sick and die, and then they wouldn't have a mom. So I felt crazy because I left to stay healthy and alive. And now I'm getting. There's a potential, thank God I never got sick. And there was nothing I could do. Like so many of us here, I'd done every weight loss program. I threw in extra therapy. I did hypnotherapist. I did OptiFast. I mean, nothing all of you haven't heard of before. And my parents had passed a couple of years before, and I had told my mom before, weeks before she died, that I didn't know that I'd always be married, and I needed her to know that. And she said, "Thank you for telling me. I knew that. Don't worry, I'm going to guide you and protect you, guide and protect you and the kids." And that meant a lot to me. And we didn't have that kind of relationship really. And a friend had encouraged me to talk to her before she died. But anything else I wanted to say, anything else, anything else. I'm like, no. And she's like, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "Okay." And I ended up having this extraordinary opportunity, which in hindsight was an opportunity for her to make an amends to me. I gave her a gift of my honesty and vulnerability, and she gave me back actually an amends for some things that had happened in our life together that changed my life and my whole relationship with her. And I bring that up to talk about amends, that I didn't know that's what was happening. She wasn't in a 12-step program, neither was I. Well, long story short, one night I'm desperate and I hear this force in me to say, go online and look up OA. I'd never heard of OA. I'd gone to AA meetings with friends who were in program for open meetings to support them. I'm not in that program. They would say alcohol. I would say sugar because I knew that. I'd given it up in the 90s on my own because I knew that I was addicted to it. And I thought I was the only one who ever had the idea that sugar was addictive and that I could give it up. And then I'd met my ex-husband and started eating it again. Anyway, I found a meeting. It was 2 blocks from my house the next day. And at that point, I got struck abstinent. I mean, I was in the back of the room crying like nobody's business, so desperate. Did anything anyone told me to do, got a sponsor that week, went to a meeting a day, did 90 and 90. And I did have the extraordinary gift of desperation. And thank God I did. I ended my divorce, I think 30 pounds lighter than I was at that time, and therefore, more importantly, healthier. I've never left this program. About 2 years ago, I did lose my abstinence, maybe a year and a half ago, and have it back. But There was extraordinary physical recovery, but that really is such a little bit of it. I have the same story of so many people. Always struggled with my weight as a kid. It was up and down. I was the fat kid in the class. People said things when I rode on a bike. I could go on, but that's not really what I want to talk about. What I want to talk about is the miracle of this program. And the miracle of this program is certainly the physical recovery, and I feel better, and my joints hurt less. And I still want to be, I'm an older mom. My kids were 7 and 12 when I started my divorce, and now they're 19 and 24. I want to be around for a really long time. I'm 61 years old. But it really isn't that. It's that it has taught me, and I didn't make up this phrase, but it has taught me how to live life. And I will tell you that even today, almost 11 years later, my life is better every day when I remember to use my tools. And it is less good when I don't. But the next day, I get to use them again. And I have a long history of self-criticism. I didn't want to call it perfectionism. It's just self-criticism that everyone else has things figured out, and why can't I do it? But here's the answer. There are days now when I don't feel in the least bit less than. There's many days now where I understand that my job is to lead with loving kindness in the world, and the rest, this isn't language that I knew. I will be protected. My mother that day was the first one who explained to me the idea of protection from something external energy. I do feel her as my angel at both of my parents every day. But that faith that she helped really move in me has grown and grown and grown because of all of you and this program. Now I can live my life knowing that if the food is down and if I'm not in sugar, in my case primarily, I can understand and learn about my own intuition. And my intuition may just be not that I know what to do, but my intuition may be call my sponsor. My intuition may be go and close the door and meditate for 2 minutes. My intuition may be do some writing, or it may be ask somebody else what the heck I should do. And every time I ask someone, every time I remember to pick up the phone and call, I'm like, that is such a great tool, that phone calls. I should really try that more often. I mean, I have a checklist. I don't have it in front of me where I have, because it is a disease of forgetfulness, where I have, I wish I, oh, I think I do. Where I have, I mean, I laugh because how genius it is. I'm teasing, not me. This is a checklist, okay, that I use imperfectly. As you can see, the colors aren't all filled in, but it's very important things like a daily reader and gratitudes and pray and write in God box and then call, call, call. And I can go months without printing this spreadsheet. And when I do it another day, the next day, it's just patiently there waiting for me. And the miracles that have happened in this program have happened because I've listened to all of you, because I've read the big book, because I am willing to identify with the problems rather than why I'm different. I tell a story and I see some of you here and it makes me cry, actually. But, during the pandemic, right when it started, I live in New York City. And there was a 7:15 meeting in person 5 days a week, 5 mornings before work. It was 7:15 to 8 a.m. And Zoom, I'm sorry, COVID hit. And I said very, very innocently, I said, I have a Zoom account we can use for like what, the next couple months? How long can this thing last? And so I wrote to everyone in the 7:15 and I said, here's the Zoom link. And we didn't have any books. We didn't have our script because it was all locked in the church. But we really, oh my God, did we wing it like nobody's business. We called it popcorn style, where you just jumped in and said your day count, or you jumped in and you read, because there were like 8 people. What was the big deal? And I don't mean it as crosstalk, but Judy was there very, very early and such an essential part of that meeting. And that's how much God loves me. And loves all of us, because what God did for me at that moment was, without me knowing it, I got to be of service. And being of service turned into this insanely esteemable act. And it was esteemable not just because I got to help other people, but because it makes me cry, because I got to use my skills and my gifts to be present and to share love and to help others in recovery. And you know, that meeting that and then I was like, oh, I like a daily meeting. And then I was like, oh, there's nothing on Saturday. I'm like, well, we got the Zoom link, so we just did it Saturday and Sunday too. You know, lots of traditions, I'm sure. I mean, we were it was the Wild West how it all happened. But today, you know, like all of you, and I think that's why I'm so moved, the idea that 84 of you are here today, probably every day, I don't know, I'd have to ask Judy, but that's my guess, sharing their experience and love really is a miracle. And it's taught me, you know, I tease that God knows I'm slow. So, you know, he kind of came in the back door and is like, let's just encourage her to do that. And it led to so much recovery for me. You know, now I know, and I think about who I was that day, March of 2015, even to today, which in some ways isn't, no, 2020, 2020, sorry, 2015 is when I came in, 2020. And my growth really about how I approach life and how I live. So my big last huge category of fear is money, not this program, but its category, and figuring out this program has led to a whole different career for me, and it has led to a career that I get to basically share my experience, not about food, but share my experience, strength, and hope about something else, an outside issue, kind of like a sponsor. And I get to say I messed up every single way that you could possibly mess up, and you'll get through it because I got through it. My whole life has changed because of this program. Not only are some of my closest friends here, not only are do I live in a level of awareness and seeking that I didn't know was capable. You know, I pray a lot in different ways, lots of one-offs, but if I'm conscious, if I pay attention, the universe and my angels speak to me all day long, and people, and the way, funny enough, one of the ways that the universe speaks to me a lot is through license plates. And so I see the craziest license plates, like I'll see God loves you, I'll say hi from above. I mean, whatever I could talk the entire 20 minutes just about the license plates I've seen and that I have photos of on my phone. And people say to me, you're so lucky. Your angels show you signs and license plates. I'm like, your angels are showing you signs, but we have to be awake enough to look. And I'm often not awake enough to look, but when I remember to be awake and say, oh, look what's going on, you know, they're all over. And that is so comforting to me because, you know, why does it matter, you may ask? It matters because life can be really challenging, and I want to show up as my best self, and I don't always show up as my best self. But I get to try every day, and I'm not alone in that try. I grew up, I'm the youngest of four. My parents had four kids in 5 years. There was an insane amount of neglect. I mean, that's what my mother apologized. She literally wrote to me in a text after we were together saying, I'm sorry I neglected you as a child. I was just tired. I'm like, I am sure you were tired. I have two kids 5 years apart, and I was tired. So I can't even imagine. But she got to make that amends, and that's taught me. And now I always tease, you know, she's a better mom, you know, as my angel than she ever was alive. And I'm sure she'd be amused to know that and grateful that she has, still has a chance to do that. But the miracles are so abundant. The miracles that my kids suffered so much in my marriage and in my divorce and are both now like literally my two favorite people in the world. Like they're so nice and they're so kind and they're so understanding. And so all of my fears about how the divorce was going to destroy them weren't true. It's just not true. It was hell. I wouldn't want anyone's children to go through it, but they really don't sweat the small stuff. They really do have perspective and they really are resilient. And they love to tease me, like, oh, let's talk like mom. Like, oh, I got to get on my meeting. Oh, I got to take a call from a fellow. And I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing that my kids have internalized that language about me. I want them to think of me that way, that I'm a little nutty and that I love to connect with people and support them and that they support me. If they can learn that in their life, when I'm not here, they're going to be fine, whether they're in a program or not in a program. And I want to also talk for a moment about the honesty this program has taught me, and that is probably the most extraordinary thing I've been able to teach my children as a tenet of life and the force of it, and the honesty that comes from making a mistake and then apologizing for it. I made a lot of mistakes, even just in my role of starting that meeting, and that operated from fear. I was so scared that the meeting would go away because what was Zoom and it could lead to mayhem quickly. And I did a lot of things right, which is also hard for me to say. And I did things wrong too. And I was able to call people and say, I'm really sorry, I messed up. And whether they liked me or not was not that important. And they had their own process to go through to work through it. But I got to apologize, and my kids learn that, oh, you can make a mistake and then you can apologize. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And I'll tell one funny story in the middle of in when my daughter was, I think maybe early in high school, she was definitely under eating and it was scaring me. And she was eating one egg for breakfast. And so one day I decided to have this great idea. I'm going to make two eggs. That way she'll eat twice as much. And so I make my two eggs all casual. And she's like, Mom, that's not an egg. And I said, with a straight face, I said, it's one and a half. And guess what? She ate half of the serving because she knew what one egg looked like. And she came home that day. And I said, Charlotte, I just want to tell you, I didn't tell you the truth. That was two eggs. And she's like, Mom, I know it was two eggs because there's no such thing as one and a half eggs. So I was like, okay, busted again. And then we worked through her eating issues gratefully, and she's doing well. But the point was that, and so I had a second example. We had a cat who was sick, who I gave a shot to at night. And my son said to me in the morning, "Did you give Sophia the shot last night?" And I had it. And I said I did. I didn't want to scare him. And then the next morning I did it. And I said to him, "Hey, the next day I said, how I told you I gave Sophia the shot. I didn't. But I gave it the next morning." And he's like, okay, I don't care. All casual. He was probably 10. Well, the next day he said to me, Mom, I want to let you know that I use the calculator to test my math homework. So, and I need you to know that. And I was like, oh, okay. So my honesty is just an example. And then he was able to be honest and not have the shame that he used his calculator. It wasn't about whether he used it or not, it was about telling the truth. And so this program has taught me how to connect to people, how to be honest, what to do when I'm in fear, how to come back. I stray, 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 but all of you are still here every day. And no matter how much I stray, I get to come back. It's taught me a level of receiving love and compassion that is so beyond my wildest dream. I didn't know that. I was so hard on myself and so alone and so unprotected. And I feel so protected most of the time now. And the people in my life now are super kind and loving. And I get to be that loving and kind person to them. And it's all. It's not, I love that in the steps. The only step that really refers to our addiction is in the first step because it's true. I just got to put that aside so I can learn how to live life. And, people can't believe that I still come to these meetings and that, I have God knows how many people in my phone that say OA at the end or say 715 at the end. And I am so lucky because I know every study out there, it's all in the media every day now about longevity and health is about not being isolated and having community. And I just want to scream from the rooftops, like, it's not that hard every single day. You want to go make 86 friends? Here's the Zoom link. Like, I feel so lucky to have found this program. And if, and it, in the scheme of my whole life, like, I have Ivy League degrees. I have all sorts of things. Like, this is my greatest blessing. This is the program that has changed my life. These are the people who have changed my life more than anyone else. And all because I overate and was scared for my life. Like, if overeating and being scared for my life could lead to a completely different life and repaired relationships, I'm going to end this. I know I have 15 seconds left. When I started making amends, I'm gonna go over by like 15 seconds. When I started making amends, I made an amends to my sister because I knew she was still hurt that I hadn't asked her to be my maid of honor 15 years earlier. Now, just remember, this is in the middle of my divorce. So you would think it wouldn't matter, but I knew it did. And I told her, I said, I'm sorry. I know it must have hurt your feelings, blah, blah, blah. And everyone's like, that's a crazy amends to make. She's old. She's got three kids. Like, what's the big deal? But I knew it. And she said to me the worst thing she could have, she said, thank you for. Thank you for not making me your matron of honor, because then I didn't stand for you during your divorce, during your marriage, so I don't have to stand for you during your divorce. It was so cruel and so hurtful. And here we are, 10 years later, and I have posted, you can't see it on my window above me, these beautiful texts from my sister about how she has total faith in me and in my confidence in my journey and how much she loves me. And that's the journey. You don't know where the miracles are going to happen, but just please keep coming back because they just keep coming. Thank you.